Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, travelers across the galaxy. I am Caitlin.
I am Kelsey.
And this is Rebels Remembered, and today we are discussing the second episode of Season 2, The Lost Commanders. The Lost Commanders aired on October 14th, 2015. It was written by Matt, Michnovitz, who was also a head writer for The Clone Wars Season 6 and 7, and he also wrote the story for Jedi Fallen Order. This was directed by Dave Filoni and Sergio Pais. And synopsis reads, Ahsoka sends the Ghost Crew to Seelos in search of an old friend, one whose leadership and strategy skills could help the fledgling rebellion. But will this legendary commander be willing to join the fight?
I didn't realize that this was going to be a multiple episode arc until this one ended. So I completely forgot about that. I thought it was all going to be wrapped up in this nice little bow, and that's not what happened. So, but we're just covering the first sort of part of that arc. So this is the first episode of that arc.
This episode definitely has a very different vibe, I think, than other episodes have done. But also, I think coming off of Siege of Lothal, we need a little bit, kind of some levity. So I feel like this episode, while it is a serious episode and makes serious themes throughout, it does have levity with...
Yeah, that's true.
Roping in a giant beast for dinner. I mean, that's definitely a vibe, so...
Going back and just bouncing off what you said. So, if you didn't catch it, I didn't because I'm dumb. The whole fishing sequence in this episode is based off of Jaws, which they have the big line, they got the ship, and then trying to reel it in, and yeah, so very similar to Jaws. Even like the way that the clones' like little ship looks, it's got all these relics around it, you know, it's kind of old and worn out, and it's got different pieces on it, so even I felt like even that was sort of a homage to the boat that's in Jaws.
As of this episode, Sabine's appearance, her hair and her colors and her hair and her armor have changed due to the scorch marks from the previous episode, which inspired her to repaint it.
But is it that, or is it Dave Filoni and character designers wanting to mess with cosplayers? Yeah. I've heard that
they do that, yeah. Okay, so we have three guys from the Clone Wars that appear in here, and obviously, spoiler alert, Captain Rex, Commander Wolf, and Captain Gregor, who appeared in Star Wars The Clone Wars. I want to get your opinions on them later.
Oh, God.
Because I knew who Rex was.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him briefly when my little cousin, watched The Clone Wars. Briefly. Like, I remember hearing his name a lot. Yeah. These other two, I don't think I ever met until this episode.
Well, just gonna put this out there, like, I know of them, but, like, and I've seen a couple of episodes, but I'm not in any way, shape, or form versed on their backstories and who they are or none of that. I know that, I think it's Gregor. I do remember, and I could be completely wrong about this. Clone Wars fans probably out there hating on me right now, but I vaguely remember that he was blown up in Clone Wars and lost his memory. There was a whole arc with him not knowing who he was, and so it's interesting to see him become, like, very childlike and, like, kind of... Not taken so seriously, but also, like, I feel like that's also sort of the part of his personality.
That might be him, yeah.
To make them distinctly different. Rex, of course, like, you know Rex. But Wolf, I don't know a whole lot about.
Okay.
So, yeah. Just getting that out of the way.
Alrighty. Rex, Wolf, and Gregor have scars on the sides of their heads where the control chips were surgically removed. We're going to get into that once
we
get into this. All right, so this episode starts with, so they're still with the Rebellion, who are still on the run from the Empire. Ezra suggests the fleet seek shelter on a remote system, but Ahsoka suggests that the Rebel crew seek out an old friend, who she describes as a great military commander whose knowledge of the Outer Rim would be invaluable in finding a base. So they're trying to find a base, but also getting some allies, to the cause. But also, this whole aspect of finding a base is throughout this entire season.
I would argue throughout the series. Spoiler alert. Trying to find some place that the Empire can't touch or can't reach. I feel like that's a constant, like, with them. With the Rebellion as a whole, specifically.
she gives Sabine and the crew of the Ghost the head of an old tactical droid and sends them to the Celo system. Before leaving, she tells Kanan to trust her friend. So it's like she knows, obviously, how he's going to react to it.
Okay, so, yeah. I mean, you watch it now and you're like, okay, obviously there's a reason why she's telling him this. Did you know it was going to be Rex when she said that?
Yeah, because the promos for this episode were heavily Rex-centered and the clones. Yeah, plus
the trailer for season two, they were heavily featured in, so I kind of knew that's where it was going.
So there was no surprise there of who it was going to be.
Yeah.
So the Ghost drops out of hyperspace, but the systems are damaged from re-entering. Hera stays behind with Chopper to repair the ship, while the rest of the crew searches the planet's surface for Ahsoka's friend aboard the Phantom. Sabine plugs in the tactical droid's head, and it starts saying 7567 repeatedly. In the distance, the crew spots a walker and flies toward it. As they approach the heavily modified AT-TE walker, Kanan is overcome with foreboding. So, interesting here, he says it kind of looks like an old Republic tank.
Even he's hesitant from even seeing something like that.
Seeing something not only... I think the key word there is old Republic tank. I think he starts to think back of that time.
Yeah.
I think that's why he starts getting foreboding for that moment. Landing the Phantom and disembarking, the four Spectres meet three old men who emerge from the walker. Kanan recognizes them as clones and ignites his lightsaber, prompting Wolf to exchange shots with him and his rifle. Rex breaks up the fight between his comrades and Kanan before things get ugly. Okay, so I'm an idiot. The part when, you know, they come off the Phantom and he's like, he starts shooting at him and he goes, but it's a Jedi, it's a Jedi. And Rex goes,
but they weren't the ones that betrayed us.
Okay, so it would have been a while. People are going to think I'm so not good at Star Wars lore. It had been a while since I've seen Order 66 and what happened. So I was like, what do you mean he's a Jedi? Why are you shooting at him? Like, my brain was being stupid in that moment. But also, it's interesting that for the first time we get a perspective of a clone.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And, right, and we mentioned it later than when Rex comes to talk to Kanan. How about this whole being brainwashed from surgical chips in the brain? And that part I can kind of buy because they're growing test tubes. So that makes sense. But it's like, it's almost like either here or there, Wolf is obviously still traumatized even without the chip in his head. Like, he is almost like a, I don't want to say PTSD, but yeah, I think that's a part of it. And like recognizing that someone that you thought was your enemy, you're still in that zone. You know.
And same with Kanan, too. Mm-hmm. He's still in that beyond. Like, I think before they disembark the Phantom, he tells Ezra, be on guard. So, I think on both sides, they're dealing with some things.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I remember watching that with our dad, and he was like, I was confused. I was like, why is he trying to, oh. And Dad was like, yeah, you remember? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's gotta be a problem. I still need to look into fans out there.
Please tell us.
Explain to me. I'm not averse in tactical droids. How can a tactical droid know your birth number? Like, is it specifically something to clones? That they give off some kind of signature that...
And see, if it's a chip, it's gone.
Yeah, so what was it tracking? That's my question.
Yeah, that... I was thinking that too. So.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a plot hole for me. That, and I don't know if you thought about this. Why it took Ahsoka so long... I mean, she obviously says at the beginning, I've sent him transmissions, but he hasn't answered them.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you go there yourself to talk to them and get them in the rebellion?
Oh, that's a good question,
also,
too.
Maybe, I don't know, her backstory, maybe she was while she was hiding, you know, after Order 66 had happened. So, also, speaking of military, I don't know if you noticed this. The way that the three of them, Rex, Gregor, and Wolf, file out of that door is still very military mode. Like, they're still in that, you know... Who is this coming at our, you know, because they're supposed to be kind of isolated, so they're on guard as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of like you said, both Kanan and them are both kind of got the shields up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ezra tells them that they had been sent by Ahsoka, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the walker, Ezra tries to convince Rex to join their fight against the Empire, but he refuses, stating his life as a soldier is over. Kanan, who mistrusts the clones, wants to acquire intelligence regarding locations for the Rebel fleet, to seek shelter and then immediately leave. So Kanan at this point is like, I think he was done once he figured out who they were.
He was done. He wanted out of there. Which I think a lot of people, I've seen a couple of reviews for this episode. One is from Den of Geek, and the other one's from Minot Manor. And they both kind of touch upon about how, because Kanan is, I'm not saying he's out of commission, but because he's obviously emotionally involved in what's happening, he's not really thinking, obviously. So it's like Ezra kind of takes the lead on. People were asking, why is Ezra the one asking for the coordinates? Well, shouldn't it be Kanan? Is he the de facto leader of the crew? But I think, like, he's just done. He just wants to I'm here to get the information and get out.
Yeah. Rex convinces the crew to stay for a while longer as Wolf voices his objections to helping them. Gregor invites the crew of the Ghost to join them in a hunt for Jupas as payment for this intelligence. So they're wanting to get coordinates for different bases. Or different, like, potential bases. And I love how, like you said, the different personalities of the three. Cause for me, this was my first introduction to these three. I kind of knew Rex more than the other two.
Yeah.
But it's interesting seeing Wolf is like, no, we don't need to help them. We don't need the Empire down our backs if they figure out we're helping them.
Well, yeah, because they're essentially retired old men that fish. Like, right. I don't want to use that, but that they're retired soldiers, that they're to fish, that's it. They're sort of outdated. It's kind of sad, though. The Empire sort of sees them as their outdated technology.
Yeah.
They lived their time. They were there to kill a Jedi. That's over. That's done with.
That was their purpose.
Yeah. But yeah, you see Wolf's personality is kind of like that. Gregor's just like childish,
totally
wacky.
Totally opposite. He's like.
And then I would say Rex is sort of like the voice of reason, good person, kind of grounded.
For me, I guess it's because I'm still in that mindset of clones are all the same. But there is hundreds of Clone Wars fans out there that know each of them have distinct personalities.
It's something that it's hard. It was hard for me to grasp when I watched Clone Wars. Is like, they're all the same. They're the same person, right? You know, they're clones. But, you know, it is interesting that each of them has their own personality.
Well, I mean, even if they're clones, they're still their own. It's weird. Yeah. Like, they're their own people, even though they're clones.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this moment where Ezra goes to Kanan and he's not understanding why won't you accept their help, you know, and then he reiterates that Ahsoka said that we should trust him. It's this little moment between the two where Kanan's like, well, you don't understand, you weren't there.
You're too young.
You were too young. It's because, I don't want to say like, boomer, okay, boomer.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a generational
difference. Yeah.
Difference. Mm-hmm. So Ezra doesn't know.
Ezra's coming from a place of innocence.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. He doesn't understand the whole, because he wasn't born. He wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's coming into place from innocence. It would be like, I don't want to like make the comparison, but it would be like our grandfather served in War II and did not have a good relationship with Japanese-Americans. Or Japanese.
Yeah.
Even to the point that I would argue for against Japanese-Americans.
Right.
I come at that from completely different, I don't know anything about what happened during the war and things like that. So,
and then Kanan actually recounts, you know, that they turned on his master, and then the way Freddy delivers that is just so chilling. Where he's like, "I watched them kill my master, and they gunned her down in a second. Pause, and then came for me." Like that part is chilling.
Yeah,
a little bit.
It does raise the question of who else has Kanan shared that information with. I want to say Hera knows.
I think so. And then he tells Ezra that later they said they had chips in their heads that made them do it, said they had no choice. I'm curious how Kanan figured that out.
Yeah, I don't know. He said later they said, which clones did you meet after Orgy?
Yeah.
And why were they not trying to kill you? if they're the ones that said it, like he says, they said, who are you talking about?
Yeah, I was curious.
You know, that's
about
a little
that.
Bit of a little bit of a plot hole there.
And then, you know, Rex enters and says that him, Wolf, and Gregor remove their control chips and that we all have a choice. But, interestingly enough, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole with chips because we will spend like 50 minutes on it. So this was before the newest season of Clone Wars.
Yes, and even when I mentioned Ahsoka and I can't remember the line, but Rex says, I fought at her side at the Battle of I think it's Geonosis, and the Siege of Mandalore. At this point, like, if you were watching this show as it came out, no one knew anything about the Siege of Mandalore.
Mm-hmm.
It was talked about, but it wasn't brought to the screen until that last season of Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, like, there's a lot of things that they talk about that we haven't seen, you know.
But especially the chips, I'm going to have to go back and look, because I haven't seen any of Clone Wars, to be honest. But especially the newest season, Order 66, I believe, is shown through Ahsoka's
point of view.
And Rex is there. My question is, does something happen where she gets the chip out of him?
I think she assists him in getting the chip out of his head.
But then here he says, we all move. How did you remove them if you didn't? This is so I'm sorry. This is the biggest plot hole for me. I'm sorry, Filoni. But, like, how can you have the knowledge to remove a control chip when you have no control over it?
At this point, I don't think it was as in-depth as that. Because I thought the same thing. I'm going, if you have a remote control chip, something in yourself, in your person, has to go, I have a chip in my head. I'm going to take it out. And if you've been brainwashed, how do you know it's there?
Yeah.
And how do you have a choice? And so I think, you know, it kind of, I don't want to say retcons that when Ahsoka helps him get the chip out. It's like, did you have a choice? Because you had someone help you.
Yeah.
You know, and
but
it's,
that was before that.
Yeah. So but it was before we saw that. So, but yeah, it's, do you have a choice? I don't know.
We have this sweet moment where Kanan contacts Hera and confides his distrust of the clones. And, of course, she reassures him that they saved during war. It was a fake war. Let's be honest. But during the war, they saved people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were soldiers.
Well, I like how she says, including my own.
Yeah.
So it's like, for Kanan, that should mean more weight. Because, like, without them, I wouldn't
be here. Yeah, but I still feel like even with that moment, like, I think during this scene, I was like, it's good to have Hera in your corner.
Mm-hmm.
And Kanan always has her in his corner. But I still feel like, even after that conversation, he's still...
But I like that. I don't like the fact that in one episode, oh yeah, sure, we'll be buddies.
Yeah.
No. That's something that Kanan, you know, I think they did a good job with. Kanan has to struggle with that level of trust between him and Rex and the clones.
So after that, we cut to Admiral Constantine's Star Destroyer, and Kallus orders the crew to dispatch a probe droid to investigate a coded transmission originating from the planet Seelos. Despite misgivings about the sanity of the clone source, Kallus still decides to investigate. So, interesting enough, here's where we start getting into Wolf. Where they say this source is known, which we know it's Wolf, spoiler alert, that is transmitting to the Empire that the Rebels are there. But he even says, someone says that this source is known for delusions. Which I think is very sad.
Yeah.
So it's almost showing that Wolf has some, and I don't know what he went through in Clone Wars. It must have been bad. That's all I know. to have this PTSD that he's dealing with.
Yeah.
Which, throughout this episode, I think I have it in my notes that I want to talk to you about later, is a recurring theme in this whole, I think both these two-parters of these two is soldiers in war. And being a soldier and what that means and what that carries, but also when the war is over, coming back to civilian life.
Yeah.
And now what?
Having to readjust. And even I think, is it Rex that says all these people died and...
For what?
For what? You know, and I think that's something that a lot of people, especially soldiers in war, struggle with, especially when some of your friends died, you know, and it's just you and having to, like, readjust. And I think it's interesting that they do have scars where they removed, I don't know if they removed them, but, you know, either here in the valley, where the chips were removed from their heads. And there's those kinds of scars, but there's also scars that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And what that can do to, like, your behavior and how you think and how you process things. But, yeah. Were you surprised that it was Wolf?
Yes, I was.
You were? Okay, I was not.
Well, I knew it had to come from somebody down there. I don't know. I think I was just being ignorant and didn't really pay attention.
Yeah,
but
I just, after the way he reacted, I was like, I don't want to use the word unhinged. But he's a little bit unhinged, and they suddenly have this transmission. I know Rex didn't send it.
Right.
I know he didn't. I don't think Gregor would have sent it. He's too busy fishing, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I wasn't surprised, unfortunately.
Meanwhile, Zeb is leading the hunt for the elusive Jupa. Which, I don't know how you felt about the Jupa, but for me, that, like I said in the beginning, this was a whole vibe for me. Like, this is now turned into, like, watching old man
fish.
Fish.
But also, it was, for me, it was like, if you guys ever played video games, and you're like, we needed this information. Oh, great. Go and get this elusive crystal in this cave. That was kind of like that. It was like, these NPCs give you side quests to do, so you can get the things that you want.
Yeah, the Jupa was a side quest, yeah. I feel like. So what's funny is, we think, you know, Zeb's got tied, he's down, he's tied to, like, some sort of
electrical
lead or something, yeah. And we have this funny moment where I think Ezra realizes that he's the bait. Because I think, isn't it, Gregor says that they like the smell of the slots.
Yeah.
Which I kind of knew when this whole plan got started. And they were like, what do you need to catch it? And he was like, I just need him. And I'm like, okay. I knew in that moment. Well,
even before that, you know, Greg was like, you're a big one, aren't you? And I'm like, I don't know if I like the sound of that.
The Jupa does swallow him. But the rebels and the clones have to work together to save him. So, like, I think interesting left here is Rex immediately jumps into battle mode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he takes the lead. He, you know, tells, I think, Sabine to watch the regulator. I think Kanan and Ezra get these, like, electrical poles that, like,
will shock the lead that Zeb's tied to.
Tied to, yeah. So it's definitely interesting seeing now the Ghost crew and the clones are having to work together.
Yeah.
They do manage to kill it. But of course, Kanan is upset that... okay. Strike one, you've used my friend as bait. I'm really trying to... He's really not, but... Strike one, my friend is now bait. Strike two is when he finds out you gave us up.
So, yeah. I do think it's really interesting, though, that... Is it Gregor or I think it's Gregor and Rex. It's like, no, y'all should stay for dinner. Like, we could eat this.
Yes.
We all happy. And I thought that was really sweet because they're trying to, you know.
Yeah.
But I also, I do wonder if Rex is still on the fence about joining them or not. And sort of, it maybe it's, hey, stay. So maybe we can, you know, have some camaraderie. And so maybe I can make this decision on whether or not I want to assist or not. But I also know coming the next episode, that when they get outed, kind of,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, there's not really any choice at that point.
Yeah, I think before this plan where we have the attack on the Jupa creature, Ezra and Rex have a moment. And he's asking him, like, he's trying again.
Yeah.
He should join us, blah, blah, blah. And I think he says, those days are over for me, you know. Yeah. Let's just live a quiet life. We're retired. Let us fish and eat our Jupa in peace, you know. And then we had this sweet moment where he starts telling Ezra about we were led by Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And he says like, I can't remember the adage that he tells Ezra that he heard from a noble Jedi. And then I think Ezra has a sweet moment where, like, well, I'm learning from a good Jedi, mm-hmm. too. So,
yeah. Plus, like, the whole thing with Gregor calling him general. I'm not a general. Oh, sure, commander. Because, like, the Jedi would lead the clones, you know?
Right.
That was kind of a funny moment.
So, Sabine goes inside to get the data tapes for, like, all the coordinates and stuff he's got. And discovers that one of the clones contacted the Empire and withheld information about Ahsoka. So, not only did they give them up... But Wolf has also been not telling Rex that, hey, Ahsoka's been trying to contact us.
Yeah.
Which I can understand that from Wolf's perspective. Like, no, I don't want to get pulled back into war.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see why he wouldn't tell him that information.
Well, not only that, it's like, if you get found out and Ahsoka's hanging around, who's a Jedi, you know, you're dead too. So...
Everyone except the already suspicious Kanan is shocked by this revelation. Rex confronts Wolf, who admits to alerting to the Empire and hiding Ahsoka's communications because he wanted to protect his comrades from Imperial persecution for helping the Jedi. So he did it for a good reason, but I think Rex says it best when he says the war is over. We can't just keep hiding from the Empire for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Kanan orders Sabine to contact Hera to scan for incoming ships, but then there's a probe droid that Kallus sent down, which I hate them things.
I know, too. I hate the noise they make.
It damages the Phantom's engines before being destroyed by Rex with a well-aimed blaster shot. I love that moment because I think Ezra hands it to him and says, you gotta make this right. I'm like, think of how long this guy, it's probably been since this guy shot a blaster.
That's true, yeah.
And he still got it.
Yeah, clones aren't stormtroopers, let's just say that right now.
They're not. He made that shot. Unfortunately, the Phantom was damaged by the probe droid, and now they're stranded on Seelos. As the crew investigates the wreckage, they ponder an imminent attack by the Empire. So, the Phantom's down. The sun is setting.
Sunset, guys.
A lot of them in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And the Empire's on its way.
And then it's to be continued. That is so scary. I'm sorry. I mentioned it when we were rewatching this. I said, how scary is it that it's about to be dark on this barren planet and you're kind of like a bullseye right now. They know where you are. You're just, it's like a waiting game. You're just waiting for them to show up. Like, that is so scary.
And obviously like, they got some weapons in that tanker, yeah. But look how old that tanker is.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think about this episode?
I gave it a rating of 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10? I would say 7. I really enjoyed the pacing. There was no point where it was slow, mm-hmm. You know. Even when they were doing exposition, I felt like it just kept moving, you know.
I like this episode, but it's not one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a...
intermission?
Well, not intermission, because they do, you know, it becomes a running theme, especially where Rex is concerned, but also it's almost like an Easter egg episode in a way.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah.
I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings out there, but yeah.
I mean, you think you've hit on something, because, I mean, there's some episodes in this season, and 3 as well, that we're going to get through, is... Star Wars in itself is a brand. And I'm sorry, it's a brand. Like I want to be like the hipster, be like, it's not mainstream. It is. And there are so many episodes where, oh, Force Awakens is coming out. Let's have an Easter egg of his lightsaber for no reason.
Yeah.
You know,
are you talking about in season 2 of Rebels?
I think it's 2.
Yeah.
And then with Clone Wars, it's like, hey, remember this person? And then I think for Clone Wars fans who are watching, it's like, oh, yay, that person. And for Rebels fans, we're going, I don't know this person. I don't know who this person is. what's this episode about again? And how does it involve the crew? And I especially remember, was it Simon Kinberg who wrote the season 2 finale? I love Simon because being able to keep this show grounded is important.
Mm-hmm.
I know Clone Wars is this whole thing, and it has a lot of love, but it's like, I don't know, people were hurt when it was, you know, canceled,
mm-hmm.
Because it was sold to Disney. Not bought, sold. Put that out there. Being able to ground this show and say, okay, that's great. What is the Rebel crew doing? What is our main characters doing in this moment with these other characters that we're wanting to bring in?
And I mean, it worked because, you know, they do have moments in both of these episodes coming up where they're working with the clones.
Yeah. It's fun to see them interact.
Yeah, but also, like, it's...
But I'm just saying, there's some episodes, not necessarily the clones, there's some episodes in 2 and 3 where I'm like, this was an episode to put in a Clone Wars character.
Yeah.
I mean, and I hate to say that, but, like, it's also one of the things where it's big as this galaxy is. Yeah. Why are we running into the same people? You know, yeah. It begs that question.
That's a good point. Now, I think you touched on this in the beginning, but what episodes of the Clone Wars did you see that featured them? And what were your thoughts on seeing, like, Rex and all them as old men? Because they're old.
Yeah.
They got beards.
I can't remember, like I said, specific episodes. And the people out there are like, well, I know this arc and this arc. You know, I was...
A lot of love for the clones in the Clone Wars, I will say that.
Yeah, I think I was a kid. Well, 14, 15 kid. So I didn't necessarily know what the arcs were called. I would just catch episodes like, oh, that's really cool. But I would say, like, for me, it was very jarring to see clones that were necessarily, I don't want to say past their prime, because he did shoot that probe droid.
Yeah.
But it was very jarring to see them not only older, but seeing, like, what, like we talked about earlier, like, what war can do to people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just, like, seeing, like, oh, yeah, you did these, all these really cool things in Clone Wars, but, like, yeah, there were effects to that, like, mentally. Yeah.
But also, if you think about it, you know, we say that they're old men and they're fishing. That was hard to catch that thing.
Yeah, they're not catching, like, just trout in the river. No.
It's. I mean, it takes, like, they're not just useless or,
no,
you know.
No, 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 by any means. It's just, like, time and wear and mental fortitude mm-hmm. that I want to say you lose when you get older, but just, like, you've got some miles on you. I was just going to say that. You got miles on you.
It's almost like in each of them, in Gregor, Wolf, and Rex, their hearts are still strong.
Yeah.
And they're mm-hmm. still those same guys that fought in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
It's just time and age is changes you in on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll finish up this Relics of the Old Republic arc in the next episode. You can follow Rebels Remembered on X. You can follow it on YouTube and Spotify. See you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.